We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we're recording this podcast today at the state capitol, and we're going to be talking about Proposition 5 on the upcoming constitutional amendment election, which takes place on November 5th. We're thrilled that Senator Lois Kolkhorst and Representative John Cyrier are with us today, along with John Shepherd with the Texas Foundation for Conservation. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Well, Senator Kolkhorst, thanks for letting us invade your office to be here today. So I'm going to start with you. Let's first start at the top and explain what is Proposition 5.
Proposition 5 on November 5 is a proposition that was voted on by the Texas legislature, and now it goes to the voters for approval. And what it does is it takes our sporting good sales tax that really has been dedicated since 1993 to finally constitutionally dedicate those monies. And let me say loud and clear, it is not a new tax. When you go to a sporting goods store and you buy a canoe or you buy a fishing rod or you do different kinds of sporting goods sales, sporting goods like that, then that money goes into a fund. Every year the legislature has the ability, when we come back every other year, to either dedicate that to the parks or not. And we haven't fully funded the parks in quite some time. The last couple of sessions we've done well. What Prop 5 does is it allows the voters to say, yes, we want this stream of money to be constitutionally dedicated to our Texas Parks and Wildlife, our recreational parks, and our historic sites. And so it will give Parks and Wildlife and the Historic Commission the ability to plan out into the future. No new tax, it's just a dedication, a constitutional dedication, so that we know all the monies are actually going to the parks.
You mentioned that the original bill was passed in 93, and this is certainly something that's been talked about literally at every single session, every 2 years since then. So I would like to ask you, Representative Cyrier, why now? How did this all come together to make this happen now?
Yeah, no, I've been told it's been going on for 20 years. They've been trying to talk about this. Since the money has been diverted from our state park system, that, you know, people have gotten angry about that, which we should, because that's what we had said the money was going to. And so for me, this is my third session that I got to participate in, and you know, in the last two we have been hearing about this, and we thought we had it taken care of, and we thought that this was going to be a constitutional amendment then, and then to have the opportunity to be a part of this team and to be able to get it across the goal line and now actually have it going towards the voters in November is a real thrill.
And it has been a team effort. It's been a team effort on the legislative front, but also with constituent groups. And John, tell me a little bit about the Texas Foundation for Conservation and what the role has been in helping this conversation along.
Right. Well, so we were just one of about 80 conservation organizations around the state that came together. We informed our membership and asked them to call their state reps and senators. And so it was just a really great grassroots effort to get this passed. And so, you know, pretty soon this message is going to go back out again that they need to vote again on November 5th let's get this over the goal line in a big way.
And Senator Kolkhorst, of course, you know about state parks going way back from your local community of Washington on the Brazos, all the parks around there. Do you think most people have an understanding of the breadth of the state park system and what it takes to keep it going?
Oh my goodness. I think that everyone loves to go to our state parks, but when you have to make reservations months and months in advance, or you're turned away when you go because they're full, I think people are starting to appreciate that we're a growing state and we have great needs. And I know, you know, we look at Texas as 95 state parks. It's 640,000 acres. And so, you know, most of those parks, Lydia, were developed during the Civil Conservation Corps in the 1930s and 1940s and some other ones in the 1980s. And so we have nearly 80% of our state parks were developed more than 30 years ago. And we and others 70 or more years ago. And so we have so much demand on deferred maintenance. You know that I'm the senator for Hurricane Harvey. 21 of the 21 counties I represent were impacted. Here's a statistic that is pretty sobering. Hurricane Harvey alone did $50 million in destruction to our state parks. Wow. So we have this huge pent-up demand on deferred maintenance, but we also have the need, and I know Representative Cyrier, who was great to work with, he and I share a county or two together in our different districts, and we talk about how Texas is growing, and there's a need to not only do deferred maintenance, but we also need to plan for the future. And I think I'm a parent of two children. We need kids going out and enjoying the great outdoors more and more and more. And as you and most people know, Texas is vastly owned by private property. And so these state parks serve such a huge role for Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, other nonprofit organizations, and families to go and enjoy and experience Texas in the wild.
And, you know, we can't help ourselves, Texas Parks and Wildlife. We talk about parks, but this is also a big boon for historic sites on the Texas Historical Commission. And also, that's not been talked about a lot, is local park funding that will be made available. Representative Cyrier, do you want to talk about that?
For the counties and also the city parks, this is the grant money. It goes through Texas Parks and Wildlife. So, and as you mentioned, our Texas Historic Commission for our Texas Historic Sites. This money also, too, will be used for that deferred maintenance and to do the upkeep and also, too, to bring on new sites into the future.
Okay. So I've asked a couple of people about just this whole effort, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. A couple of people said you were a bulldog on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
That you were a bulldog on this during the session. Can you just explain a little bit more about why this is so important to you personally?
Well, I think and Senator Kohlkorst is part of that bulldog team. I know that. So it was amazing to me. You know, obviously the outdoors, the park system, Texas Parks and Wildlife means a lot to me. But when I started getting into the issue and started seeing it, how many people came out in support? You know, we talk about the diverse groups that came out in support and the different organizations, but this means so much to people. It's such a quality of life, and it resonates to everybody. So much so, had 149 co-authors, so everyone signed up on this in the House. So great diversification, bipartisan support, and so but it's important now to let everybody know that this is on the ballot. Now it's a time to make this permanent in our Constitution and get everybody out, as we're saying, Prop 5 and on November 5.
So we're talking about the kind of apple pie and motherhood piece of this, right? I mean, who can be against state parks? But there's more to it than that. I mean, there's a huge economic impact of state parks and local parks. And I don't know, John, Senator, who wants to talk about that?
Well, a couple of words briefly, but especially in these rural communities, state parks just provide, they're an economic engine. And there's been numerous surveys that show that something along the lines of 70% of the people who come to a state park come from outside the county. And so that means that, you know, they're coming there to spend their money, to spend money buying gas and hotels. And without that state park, they probably wouldn't be stopping by there. So from that standpoint, and you know, just the sheer number of jobs that the state park creates, both direct and indirect, it's certainly important from an economic standpoint.
You know, John, to follow up on that, I was looking at some, kind of quick facts. The parks generate more than $891 million in sales and have a $240 million impact on income for Texas residents, and they support just over 6,000 jobs throughout the state. And so, you know, Representative Cyrier and I are largely rural representatives and senator and representative, but I also represent urban areas of the state in Fort Bend County and Harris County. And I've got to tell you that I have people in Harris County tell me all the time, my gosh, I wanted to go to the park in Huntsville and it's booked and I can't get a space to rent or to lease, or I want to camp and it's overbooked. I want to take my church group out there. So The importance is this is not a rural or an urban or suburban thing. This is a Texas thing. Again, the state parks being the recreational side, what I call the recreational, what we truly go to the Enchanted Rock experience. But then I look at, we represent Gonzales and Come and Take It and the Texas history side of what we tell the story of Texas and why we are Texas, why we're so fiercely independent, why we were once our own nation. And that's from Washington on the Brazos and San Felipe to Gonzales and come and Take It and Goliad and all the different parks that I represent in Senate District 18. So there's an economic impact, but I just talk about over and over and over the quality of life. When more than 95% of your lands are privately held, very different than Colorado, very different than many of the other western states. The importance of Texas providing recreation and also telling the story of our history is vital, and we can do that by voting on November 5th for this constitutional amendment that, again, is not a new tax at all. It just takes a current tax that was supposed to be going to the parks anyway and constitutionally dedicates it. And as Representative Cyrier, we kind of laugh. It takes it out of the hands of lawmakers, mm-hmm. and it puts it in the hands of the people and says, we're constitutionally dedicating this so that 100% of those monies go to deferred maintenance and to future parks.
Right. It's a commitment to future generations. And we talk a lot about the growth of this state, the population of the state. A lot of these people are going to be moving here. And so we need to be able to show them, the importance of our history and our culture and some of the natural resources that make us so special.
I was with Parks and Wildlife Department for many, many years, and I can remember a lot of new commissioners coming in on the commission and having no idea really that what's involved in running a state park. Mm-hmm. And Representative Cyrier, you've been three sessions, you said, that you've been involved.
Yep.
So were you very familiar with state park operations before you became a representative?
Not, of course, at this level, but and obviously knew that we have right around the corner from me is the Lockhart State Park. But again, you just don't realize the amount of maintenance. One of the things, I sit on an oversight committee for our government facilities, and that was the biggest eye-opener. A study was done that showed that current state right now in our park system has over $800 million in deferred maintenance. $800 million in deferred maintenance. And so that is one of the reasons why people can't get into the parks and have reservations. There's some of these parks have to be shut down because they don't have the plumbing or the HVAC or some of the other things that are needed to allow visitors to come in.
And then a hurricane happens or a spring flooding happens, and then that does
all of our Texas natural disasters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I may be dating myself, but I can remember back in the late 90s when we first started talking about trying to make these funds dedicated for good. And I can remember organizing a media tour of Garner State Park for San Antonio Media. And what we did was we lifted up the back, we showed them rusty pipes and leaking, the mm-hmm. sewage plants. And a lot of people not really understanding that these parks are almost like cities. Mm-hmm. And on the weekend, like Garner State Park, there's thousands of people there.
Was it 10 million visitors a year
through
our park system?
Right. Yeah, yeah. And on any given weekend for one of these busy parks, we're talking thousands of people. And you've got, the infrastructure issue, you've got police issues, you've got all of that. That has to be supported in some way, and that's another reason these funds will be used so well.
So Representative Cyrier brought up a great point. 10 million plus visitors a year. There's about 27 million Texans. So, one in three go to a state park every year. So that's really important. And if you look at since 1980, we've only created and opened three new state parks. So 1980, y'all do the math. That's nearly 40 years that we've only provided three new state parks. Representative Cyrier, I know that you and I talked about this going into session. You were named chairman of a very important committee in the Texas House, and we worked on this together. I really have to tell you, I know you said this, what an mm-hmm. honor it has been to be a part of this. I told Representative Cyrier, we just had the governor sign The bill and the joint resolution that created the constitutional amendment. And I told John that I'd been working on this for 20 years. I said that if anything, when I leave the Pink Granite Building, I want to have said that we fully funded our recreational and our historic parks. And in part, I'm going to tell y'all, I love to tell the story of Texas and why we're different. And there are a lot of people that are moving to Texas, and they need to understand who and what we are culturally. But the other part is the role that a state park can play on conservation, teaching young people about native grasslands, about invasive plants that harm our water supply. There are so many benefits to having state parks and our historic parks that, you know, I'm almost teared up when I talk about this bill getting so close to funding it constitutionally forever. And then I think generations to come will look back at this time and thank the voters in the year 2019 for making this commitment and finally saying we're constitutionally dedicating a revenue source that's already there. You will not pay no, there will be no new taxes. Yeah, let me repeat. This is the same thing, but when you go in and you buy a sporting good item, and this is delineated in the statute, it's just dedicated to your parks. That makes sense.
Right.
If I'm buying, like I said, a canoe, an oar, a fishing rod, a tent, that money's gonna go to perpetuate a place that I can actually go use those products. So I'm really excited, and I hope the voters agree with us.
So I've heard this described as a moonshot, that, you know, all the stars came together and the planets aligned to get us where we are now. But it ain't over till November 5th.
That's correct. Now, we need to get the voters out. We need to tell our friends, and this is our chance to, like I said, finally put it in the Constitution and take it out of our hands, though at least the future lawmakers' hands, of diverting these funds and finally putting it to the place where it was originally supposed to have gone to and where it's dedicated to, which is our park system and our historic sites.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
Well, I want to touch back on something that the senator said just a minute ago, and I know everybody in this room has probably heard Carter Smith describe state parks as the gateway to the outdoors for millions of Texans. And, you know, if that gateway is not there and available, then all those opportunities are lost, and people they lose touch with nature and, you know, some of the stuff that makes us important as a state. So, you know, I'm just thrilled. I got goosebumps four or five times, you know, listening to you guys talk, and this is a marvelous thing. So get out and vote, people.
And I will say a follow-up, that this was voted on unanimously in the Texas House and the Texas Senate. There was not a dissenting vote on this measure coming out of the legislature. So urban, suburban, rural, Democrat, Republican, everyone said, yes, we believe in our state park system. We believe that this is the right thing to do to constitutionally dedicate these monies. And I hope the voters, as they do their research, will agree with 100% of the lawmakers here in Texas.
One last thought?
Very excited. Thanks for having us and putting the message out.
Thank you. As someone who's been watching this since 1993, thank you.
Special.
So now, folks, go out and vote on November 5th. Thanks a lot.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.